All right, guys, here we go. probably be a pretty short show tonight compared to the previous show. We're gonna finish up the Pesukim. Pretty much, what we finished tonight is everything that's been in the Pesukim. So far, we did the Kodesh, the Kedushin, the Ulam. We talked about the stairs to the Ulam. We talked about the time. We talked about the all that, the Yom Tov Shlomo, the Yachin Boaz. All those things were written in the Pesukim explicitly. What we're doing tonight is the end of the Pesukim. Okay. So after we finish tonight, everything we're going to be doing is based on all the Mishnayos, and that's going to be really constructing the entire Azara, talking about all the different gates around the different parts of the Azara, moving eastward to the Ezra's Nashim, talking about those Azaros. Again, none of that's in the Pesukim. What we're doing tonight is the end of what's in the Pesukim, okay? So Pesukim talk about 9 Kalim, okay? 9 Kalim in addition to what we spoke about. Okay. Three of those kalim were from copper, and the other six were of gold. Okay.
So three of copper.
Nine of gold. I'm sorry, six of gold. Six of gold. That's so we talk about what? Okay. So let's start with the three of copper. Okay. The first thing that we're going to talk about is called the Syrian. Okay, the Syrian. Again, just to bring to some of the
that's where he is. He says, what does the Radbaz say? The Radbaz says that even if you need a little bit,
you see at least a bit from the side.
So what do we see?
You
need at least a side.
Go along right there. Right, so again, in this picture, you said there were 12 stairs that went up from all around the Beit HaKhalifos up to the Ulam. There were 12 stairs here going up, right? So outside that, right around here was Mizbeach HaChitzon, okay? The outer Mizbeach, which we're going to spend a lot of time talking about how it was built very soon. That Mizbeach stood right there, okay? The ramp was in the south side, again, because this is the, what do we say, this is the east, south, north, I need a marker, west, okay? Okay, so the Mizbeach was in the southern side of the Mizbeach, southern side of the Azara, and then the Yom Tov Shlomo was down here. Yom Tov Shlomo was down here, right? A little eastern of the Mizbeach. Yachin Boaz was right in there, right? We spoke about that already. What else did we say? Oh, the Machonos. Right? The Machonos we did last time. The Machonos, again, were the vessels that held the kioros on them, that held the water for the purpose of sanctifying the hands and the legs, right? That was right there. Right, with the faucets, with water, there were 10 of those. Right.
The lineup is sort of in between the Yom Tov Shlomo and the Mizbeach.
What?
Is the lineup of the Machonos in between the Yom Tov Shlomo and the
these actually stood. So we're going to see. So we're going to talk about it today. We're going to mention it today. We're going to talk about a lot more detail later, okay? Okay. So this whole area, okay, from the edge of the Yom Tov Shlomo, okay, all the way up until the Ulam, it was called the Ezra's Kohanim, okay? This was called the Ezra's Kohanim. We may have mentioned that before. Ezra's Kohanim, okay? Going further out, a little east, we have the Ezra's Yisrael. Okay, this is the Ezra's Yisrael right here. Okay, and there were steps. There were about 4 steps. Again, we're going to talk about this whole thing between the Ezra and the Ezra's Kohanim. And on the walls, there were indicators that this is a separation between Ezra and Ezra's Kohanim. Okay, so everything we've spoken about is in the Ezra's Kohanim.
What?
In the Ezra's Kohanim? No, I'm saying in between them, there were steps. Four steps in between here, and then on the walls there were indicators that this is the line. right? Why does it matter? Because obviously Yisraelim can go in here for no reason, right? A Jew who is not a Kohen or a Levi can go in there for no reason. And just come on them, Yisraelim can go there, but they have to have a better reason. And Yisraelim never go beyond this point, okay? This is the Kohanim's, this is their territory, okay? Israel, again. Israel, so there was really nothing in the Ezra's Israel in terms of things, actual things, but there were lishkos, there were chambers, right? Which we haven't talked about any of the chambers yet, right? There were chambers all over the place, okay? But in terms of actual things, like in terms of objects, those only exist as Kohanim, the Mizbeach, the Yam Shel Shlomo, the Mechonos, and that's that, okay? So again, the first Kohen is called the Seer. Okay, so let's draw out the Mizbeach. So let's say this is the Mizbeach. Again, we're getting into detail a lot later. In terms of, this is a very, very just like basic design, right? You'd walk up the Mizbeach, and you would, the Kohen would walk up. It has to be a ramp, you're not allowed to be steps, right? Because the idea is that when you have steps, right, you can kind of see under. The Kohen would sort of like a single beged that would just go down over their entire body, and when they would put their foot up on a step, right, you could potentially, the Mizbeach could potentially see their private parts, right? The idea was that it was like a ramp so that you would never really expose the under part of your body. Right, there, right. Okay, exactly. Okay, they walk up here, and the seer. So again, so what happened was, there were three different ma'arachos, okay? Again, we're going to talk about this much later. Ma'arachos were three places on the Mizbeach where they burned things. Okay? In the middle, as in like three ma'arachos, like a thing of wood, right? You have like a, what?
Fire pit,
right. So like five logs in one place, that was one ma'aracha, right? And that's called ma'aracha. You have another ma'aracha with another few logs, another ma'aracha with a few logs. Three different ma'arachos for different reasons. Again, we're going to talk about that later. It's not important right now. In the middle, right, after they burn all these stuff on the Mizbeach, so what happens? So you have a lot of ashes. They have a lot of ashes. So what they do is, they would put all the ashes in the middle of the Mizbeach, okay? And a huge, huge pile of ashes that accumulate every day, right? Large, large ashes from all the different burnings that they do on a daily basis, right? This huge, huge pile of ashes is called the tapuah, okay? Like an apple. That was called the tapuah, and they put all the ashes there. Okay? So we're talking about the serum, right? Okay. So the serum were, so what happens when this pile got too big, right? At a certain point, right, you bring enough carbonus, you burn enough things on the Mizbeach, so the ashes pile up a lot of time. So the Kohanim would take something called the Ya'im. The Ya'im is actually the second Kli. Okay? The Ya'im. Yud, Ayin, Yud, Mem. Okay? Pretty much what they were like these long, like a long handle with like, it's like a shovel, like a long shovel. Right? They would take the shovel, the Kohanim, and they would stick it in the tapuah, and they would pick it up, and they would put it in a big bucket here, right, called the seer. Okay? So this was the seer. This was the yacht. This was the, it's called the yacht, right? I'm just trying to explain the seer right now. That's why we haven't mentioned this back at all. I'm just drawing this so that we see what the seer was. The seer were these big, like huge buckets. Seer were buckets that they would put the ashes into, and they would eventually take down the ramp, and they would dump it outside the city. Okay, the ashes built up over a long period of time. What? No, not the ashes. That ashes go in the water. What? The Nesachim. Some of the Nesachim went into the water. No, so that was a very, they had an incredible filtering system. It was amazing. We'll talk about that later. There were canals, because we had what we did like Shechita. There's blood all over the floor. It's disgusting. So what they did was they had ways of funneling all the blood and kind of cleaning up like a self-cleaning system. It's really, really cool how it worked. But we're not to any of that yet, okay? So again, the seer was a gigantic bucket in which they put ashes from the tapuah into, right? Which they would eventually take down the rampant outside the city to dump it out, okay? They dumped it out in a place called the Shefech HaDeshen. Okay, Shefech meaning pouring of the Deshen, the ashes, right? That was a special place outside the city. That was the mitzvah of the tumas of the hotzas hadeshen. Okay, mitzvah of hotzas hadeshen is taking out the ashes from the top of the mizbeach to outside the system. Okay, so clean number one is the seer, the serum, which were the buckets in which they took the ashes and they put them in. Okay. The second clea of copper was the yaw, which was the shovel in which they took from the pile and they put in the seer. So we have 2 out of the 9 clea. Okay, we're good so far? Good. The seer itself, actually, let's talk about the seer. The seer had 2 chains, right? Really cool system. What happened? On each side you had a chain. So, what would happen? How would you carry it? It was a big bucket. How would you carry it down Mizbeah? How would you carry it down? So, pretty much you filled it up to the top, to the brim, and then you had one Kohen take one chain, right, it was like a handle, start walking down, and the other Kohen would pull on the chain on top so that the whole thing wouldn't flip over, right? If one Kohen's pulling this thing down, the whole thing's going to flip over. So what happened was, one Kohen would stand right here holding that chain, walking down his bath. The other Kohen would be pulling to make sure that he doesn't flip over, that the whole ashes don't flip over on him. And they would walk outside and they would take it out, and they would take it outside the city. That was the system of taking out all the ashes on top of the altar.
Was it connected to like a system, like a chain of holy, or was it
And there was a chain that went through. Pretty much the coin's pulling down. As it's going down, the whole thing just popped up, falling. So you have another coin on top holding it so that there was not a lot of slack so that he'd be able to suspend it. Right. Yell it so that it wouldn't fall over. That is the seer, that's the yah, the second. The third kli we have to talk about is the mizrakos. Okay, what were the mizrakos? Nothing to do with the mizbeach, really. Okay? The mizrakos. Okay, Mem Zayin Resh Kuf Vav Tuf. Right, Mizrakos from the Russian of Zrika. Anyone know what the Mizrakos did? The Mizrakos were, when you shed the carbon, what do you do? You have to catch the blood. Right? Why do you catch the blood? Oh, fantastic. Good. Because when you shed the carbon, right, a carbon, not like a slum animal. You have a carbon, you shed it, you have to catch the blood so you can throw it on the Mizbeach. That's part of the requirement to eat the carbon, is that you have to catch the blood. Right, that's called Kabbalah Saddam, okay? So when you shuck the animal, pretty much you have a Kohen, you have Yisrael, whoever it is, shucked in the carbon like this, and there's someone else standing at the bottom under the animal with a cleat to catch the blood so that they would take it on his back and then they would throw it on his back. Okay, that's part of the process. The cleat that they would catch the blood with, that was called the Mizrak. Okay? The Mizrak, so the Mizrakos were these kalim that they would catch the blood of the animal when they shepherd it. Okay? Those are the 3 copper kalim that we have to talk about. Okay? Okay. Actually, just this other term, you should know, the serum were also called the kioros, right? A little confusing, they weren't actually, right, the kioros, but they weren't the kioros in the sense of the water, but they were also called the kioros, okay? And the third term that they're referred to in the Mishnah is the pasachter, okay? Pasachter, again, putting in brackets, it's not as relevant to know. They were the serum, but they were also referred to as the kioros and the pasafter, not to be confused with the kioros that stood on the top of the mechonos that we spoke about before. Okay. The yayim were also called the magrefos. Okay, magrefos. Mem gimel resh pei vav tuf. The yayim were also called the magrefos. That they again the shovels. So that is in terms of that. Oh, another very important thing. The Mizrakos, the Mishnayos and Sachem speak about, the Mishnah talks about that, the way, the Mizrak kind of look like this. Look like that. It's actually like that. Okay, and it had a pointy bottom. Anyone know why it had a pointy bottom? Good. Good. So why didn't they want... Oh. Yeah. Pretty much the Mizrakos, the way it looked, the Mizrak, it was a kli that went that they cut the blood with, and it had a pointy bottom. It had a pointy bottom. The reason it had a pointy bottom is because it shouldn't be that the avoda was done, was that the kohen would put it down for a second, he may forget about it, the blood will start to congeal,
and that's not going to be fit to be thrown in the bath. So the construct of the Mizrach was that it had a pointy bottom, so you can't put it down. So if you put it down, it'll slip fall over. So from the time that you catch the blood, we'll take a straight from the mizrach. You won't tear it at all. You won't waste time. Forget it, or the blood will. We're gonna put it down for a few minutes, and then the blood's not the same. When you let the blood sit, it's not the same. That's in terms of that.
Okay.
Those are the three copper kelim, and that's it. Can I erase the blood? Can I erase this? Good. Everyone good? Those are the three copper kelim. Good. Now let's talk about the six gold kelim. Okay. The first thing we talk about is the menorah. Okay. Menorah we mentioned before. We didn't really talk about much. The menorah was in the kodesh, right? That was in this area, right? We said the menorah was in the south side of the kodesh, right? We said there were another 10 actually there. So for the menorah, there's something called the milkechayim. Okay. So we're in the six of gold now. Okay, the milkechayim. Mem, lamed, kuf, ches, yud, mem. I don't know what the milkechayim did. Milkechayim. Okay. Big menorah here. Here's the menorah. Excuse my drawing. Right, that's the idea. So anyone know how the mizbeach actually, the menorah looked, okay? So the menorah was, that's actually not true, it actually looked like that, it actually was a long thing that went up, and then you had one, two, like that, okay? That's the menorah look. On top of the menorah there were cups, right, there were little cups, right, cups. In those cups, you would put oil, and then you put a wick, okay? So you light the wick, right? And then you had energy from the oil in the cup. The milkechayim, for the purpose of the milkechayim, they were tweezers. Not tweezers, but what's the English word? Like forceps. Tongs. The milkechayim translated as tongs, right? I guess it looked like that, right? Right, you held on to the tongs, right? And then the purpose of it was to take out the wick from the cups in the morning, right? They lit the menorah at night, it stayed lit all night, and then in the morning you take the milkechayim, which are these tongs, and you pick up the wick from yesterday, and then you have to put in new stuff for the next day. That is the first kli of the gold kelim. Okay. Kli number two. There's something called the Nisach HaYayin, okay? After you bring a carbon in an Ola or a Shlamim, right? Two different types of carbonas. An Ola is a carbon which you don't need any of the parts, you just put it on the altar, you burn it, and you don't need anything. A carbon Shlamim is where you eat part of the animal, part you give to the Kohanim, and part you burn. After you bring one of those carbons, you have to bring something called a Nisach HaYayin. Nisach HaYayin. Which pretty much means that you bring the carbon, you burn it on the mizbeach, and then you take the wine and you pour it into a cup that was on top of the mizbeach. Right, there were two cups, but right now we're just gonna mention one of them. We'll talk about the second cup later. Right. So again, back to the mizbeach picture. So pretty much what they would do is they bring a carbon, and then you have to bring up wine with the carbon, right? You bring up the carbon, you check the carbon, you bring up the parts you're going to burn, and then you take wine and you pour it into cups that were on the mizbeach. There were these cups on the mizbeach. Okay, there are actually two cups. What we're going to talk about now, one cup, because that's all relevant for us. There was one cup that you pour wine into. Okay, that was part of the process, bringing the carbon. Okay, that's called the Nisach HaYayin, that accompanies the carbon, the bringing of the carbon. You pour the wine in there, okay? From that cup, it went down to the roof of the Mizbeach, okay? And then it actually went down through the Mizbeach, and it went all the way outwards. And then that went straight into the Emes HaMayim, which is a long river. Okay? pretty much, so you pour the wine, you bring up the wine in this vessel called the the sipos. It's called the sipos. Okay? Samathiyot peyut, yes? The sipos. So you would, So you would... You would take wine and it was like a pitcher, and that's what it looked like, right? A pitcher, right? A handle there. It was like a pitcher. You take the wine up the mizbeach in this pitcher called the sipos, and you would pour it in one of those cups, right? It was the Eastern cup. Again, these measurements don't mean much right now, but Bez Hashem, they will mean a lot soon. You pour it in there, it goes in the cup, it goes down through the Mizbeach, out into the river. It was like a river of water flowing through the Azara. We'll talk about that later. But again, I just want you to know what it was. The Sipos was the pitcher that you would carry the wine in onto the Mizbeach to pour into the cup. Okay? That is Kli number two. Kli number three. Okay? We have the Chaim and the Sipos. Okay. Key number three. We're called the Bazikhe Levona. Anyone know the Bazikhe Levona word? Bazikhe Levona. Bazikhe Levona word on the Shulchan. On the Shulchan, we said it was in the north side of the Heichal, which means the Shulchan was right there on the table. There were two stacks of bread, right? Two stacks of bread, right? One stack had six. Each stack had six loaves of bread. Pretty much, you'd say this is the Shulchan. There's the Shulchan, right? There were two stacks of bread. One, two, three, four, five, six. Like that was one stack. One, two, three, four, five, six. Right, so two stacks of bread. So that was where they put 12 loaves of bread. That was called the lechem apanim. In between those lechem apanim, there were two small spoons. In those spoons was something called levona, which is a certain type of spice. I think it's translated as frankincense, right? There was frankincense in those two spoons. And every week, every Shabbos, right, they would put a whole new set of lechem upon it. They would put 12 new loaves, and they would put new frankincense. They would take the old loaves, and they would split it amongst the Tawanim to eat. And they would take the frankincense, and they would burn it on the Mizbeach. Okay? So that's how that worked. That's the third thing, the Bazikhe Levona. They were the extra spoons, yeah. These little spoons, each spoon, they were called the Bazikhe Levona because they held, Bazikhe means like a spoon, Levona, they held the Levona. I mean, there were 11 Shulchanos, right? But the Lechem HaPanim was only on one of the Shulchanos. The focus of Gemara, whether it switched between the 11 Shulchanos or it only stayed on one Shulchan the whole time, but that's really not for now. Okay, so on the Shulchan there were 12 loaves of bread. In between the two loaves were the two spoons of Levona. Okay? The next Kli was, again, Mizrakos. We spoke about them before, right? The Kalim by which you would catch the blood, but they were made of gold. Okay? So that's just, that's another thing, okay? There were Mizrakos of copper, that was one of those Kalim. And also, one of the Mizrakos of gold, one of the Kalim of gold was also Mizrakos. That was the same thing, just catching the blood. And Mizrakos of gold and Mizrakos of copper. They had both. Okay? That is that Kli. Four, we have two more, right? Okay. The next thing we have is the pans.
No, we have five.
What?
We have five.
Four. The milk of chayim, we did the tongs, we did the pitchers where you bring up the wine to the mizbeach. We have the bazika levona, and we have these mizrakos. Yeah, we said that. That was the pitcher. That was the pitcher. What cup? No, we didn't talk about that. I'm sorry. The, The Nisach HaYankim was the pitcher that they take wine, put wine in a pitcher, they would take the pitcher up in his bath, and they would pour it in one of those cups. The cups we're going to talk about yet. But the pitcher itself, that they brought the wine up in, was called the Sipos. Yeah? Okay. Okay, two more kelim, we're just about done. Two more kelim. Okay. The next kli, what do we have, five? The next kli was the pants. Okay, the pants, stuff like that, I guess, right? A long handle with a big shovel, a big thing. They were called the machtos. Mem ches tough. Okay? The machtos, the purpose of it, I'm not going to draw this back again. They walk at the Mizbeach, and they would take one of the Kohanim would walk at the Mizbeach in the morning, and he would take coals from the Mizbeach, Tachitzon, right, the Mizbeach right there, and he would bring it into the Heichal, and he would pour those coals onto the inner Mizbeach. Again, the whole process we're not talking about yet, but I want you to be aware of it, okay? That was what it was, okay? So pans that he would walk up the Mizbeach with, he would pick up coals from the Mizbeach, and he would bring them into the Heichal and pour those coals on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. The very last kelim that the Sukkim talk about are the instruments, right? The Levim used to play the instruments during part of the Avodah. Okay? They were called the Mizamers. What? Right, they're playing the snares, right? Right, and again, the mizamros, the instruments, they consisted of, there were harps, right, called the nevalim, there were flutes, there were cymbals, there were trumpets, right, there were all different types of instruments that they used to play. That was called the mizamros. They used to actually, where would they stand when they played it? They would stand between the Ezra's Kohanim, we spoke about before. There were steps here. So then we should stand on those steps, and that's where they were playing these instruments. Certain times during the Avodah, we'll talk about when they did it. Hopefully those will show soon. They would stand right there and they would play the instruments. That's pretty much it. Okay, quick chazar, what do we have? We have nine kelim in total we spoke about, and we're going to speak about. Three of the kelim were made of copper, right? What were the three kelim? Help me out here. The mizrakos, right? The serum, the big bowls that they would put all the ashes on top of this bath. The yoyim, which they were the shovels, which they would take the ashes, put into the serum to bring down, right? The third thing was the mizrakos, that they would catch the blood in. That was in terms of the copper. In terms of the gold, we had six. The six were number one, the melchathayim, right? The tongs that they would use to clean out the wicks of the menorah. The second thing was the pitchers that they would pour the wine into. They got to this bath to pour into one of the cups. The third thing was the bazich and the bona, the two spoons that sat in between the lechem aplanim on the shulchan. Then we had the mizrakos dam, another mizrakos again, which were made of gold instead of copper. The fifth thing was the machtos, right? These pans that they used to go on the outer mizbeach, walk up, take the coals, and bring it into the kodesh, and pour it onto the mizbeach. Pnimi. And the sixth thing were the instruments that the Levim used to play between the Ezra's Trel and the Ezra's Kohanim. Okay. Again, now at this point we're going to move on. But we're pretty much until this point we're speaking about this whole area. But we're pretty much done with this for a pretty good amount of time now. We're going to start moving outwards, explaining this whole area. We also get a little bit. We're going to talk about this and then really kind of branch our way even further out. Okay, shkoyach.